Sean Campbell joins us once again from Montreal 6-9. Sean, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Jason?
Well, you know, all of Canada is watching. I know maybe now in Montreal, are there Jays fans, or because there's no Expos, there people are like, "Meh, I can't really cheer for the Jays."
No, it's growing. It's, you know, it's been a long time since the Expos have left, and yes, the Expos are first in everybody's hearts, but they don't exist anymore. They're not here, and there's a whole new generation of fans that really didn't even know the Expos. And they're coming to late. You see the teenagers, they're wearing the Blue Jays caps. They've got the hoodies, they've got the sweaters. And I wouldn't say it's not like what's going down in Toronto, but there is, I would say, a slight Blue Jays fever in Montreal. It's not huge, but it is noticeable.
Okay. Well, not a great start for the Jays right now, trailing 2-0 early on in only the second inning. So they'll obviously have to try to improve that. The Montreal Canadiens, they get a victory, but I'm not sure they're going to be enamored with how they play. You give up 37 shots to a Toronto Maple Leafs team that does not have the most elite offensive lineup.
Yeah, no, I was watching the game last night, like everybody getting ready for the NHL season, the first puck drop, and then at the end of the game, I look at the score line and I see 3-1, you know, with the empty netter. And I'm like, this is how the Canadiens are going to win every game. They're going to watch Carey Price make 30-plus saves. They're going to rely on Max Pacioretty to score goals. P.K. Subban to be P.K. Subban, get a little additional support like they got from Alex Galchenyuk, and they're going to win hockey games. The Canadiens are going to win hockey games. But what they did last night is exactly how they're going to win hockey games. It was very similar to what they did last year. They're defensively sound in structure, but not always in execution, which was the case last night. So there's going to be moments where, you know, they're going to be back on their heels, but there's a reason why they can do that, because they have number 31, Carey Price. And, yeah, they're not, you know, Montreal wasn't enamored with the way that they played, but they love that their captain, Max Pacioretty, went out there, P.K. Subban, and Carey Price. Their three biggest players were their three best players. And if that happens for most NHL teams, you win the hockey game.
This might seem strange. Do the Habs at times just take it for granted that Carey Price is going to bail them out?
The players will say no, but I think that there is a sense that, you know, maybe you just play a little bit differently. You know, I've played hockey my whole life, and sometimes you have a, you know, just beer league or whatever, you have a good goaltender or a bad goaltender. I just know that, like, if I'm playing, I'm going to play, oh, well, I'm going to let him have the shot because this guy's going to stop it. Or, you know, I'm going to make sure I get in front of the shot because this guy's probably going to let it in. You know, and I think maybe there's a bit of a difference from a Tokarski in nets versus a Carey Price, like how they feel and how hard they work. Maybe they feel they can let the shot through. Maybe they feel they don't need to block it because they're like, Carey Price, maybe I don't have to, you know, give that guy an extra jab and maybe get called on a hook or a penalty. I can let him go because Carey Price is going to make the save. I don't know if I could get in their minds, and I know that the players will never admit that they let things happen, but, you know, subconsciously, it's very possible that they could be doing that because, you know you have a strong goaltender, I think you do play differently.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of players say they don't, you know, and Ray Ferraro said it on our show the other day. He goes, it's not like you go in net and you say, well, I don't like this guy, so I'm going to play harder for the other guy and stuff like that. But you do wonder if maybe they, I don't know, if they play looser, they're like, well, you know what, I can take this chance because Carey will bail us out.
Yeah, can we get an extra jump until, oh, it's a 3-on-1, it doesn't matter, you know. Their style doesn't really coincide with that because sometimes you see them, they really just, they bear down in their zone, they cross the red line, they dump it in and change. And they could do that for a good 12 minutes. If you watch the second period, that's pretty much what happened. They held back in their own zone, dumped it in and changed. Until the third period when they needed a goal and there was about 10 minutes left, the Canadiens opened up a little bit and they were able to have some success. So, you know, any team that has a Carey Price, you know they're going to have a good season. You know that they're going to do well. And I think a lot of teams are jealous of that fact.
Jason Gregor Show live today at On the Rocks. Jasper Ave, 118th. Come in. You can watch the Jays. Maybe they need come in with your rally caps on early. They're down 2-0. And then, of course, you can stick around. Oilers season debut tonight against the St. Louis Blues at On the Rocks. All sorts of great specials and more. We'll get to that. The Canadiens, Galchenyuk, moving him to the middle, Sean. Obviously, that's where he was drafted. He's a natural centerman. Some guys take a few years to get adjusted to the league. Do you think he's going to be more impactful playing down the middle?
Yes, you saw it in the preseason. You saw it when he got a chance for about 12 games last year to play down the middle. It's amazing how different he is. It's a weird thing that, you know, just playing a position will change your offensive ability, but he's very good at east-west. You know, the north-south game is for some guys, but the east-west, covering more ice. When he was on the left wing, it's almost like he was always just forced to go right. And every time he wanted to go left, he was running into the boards. And it just gives him so much more freedom in the offensive zone. And for the Canadians, it opens things up. And they're trying something new. Their second line is a question mark because Galchenyuk's at center. You got Alex Semin on one side, and then you have Lars Eller on the other. Lars Eller hasn't played a top six role yet in the NHL. And you have Alex Semin, who hasn't been a top six forward in a while, where he only scored 6 goals last year. So putting Galchenyuk at center, they're hoping dynamically they're going to be a little stronger offensively, especially with those two wingers that he has that haven't performed at an elite level in a long time.
And that was going to be my next question. You're putting with two guys who haven't performed at elite level. Are you kind of, you know, putting that much added pressure on a player to try to help try to revitalize two players' careers who maybe are just past their best due date?
Yeah, like, you know, Lars Eller was a first-round draft pick, and he's been used as a third-line center with the Canadiens. And defensively, he's strong. He's a big centerman. And he kind of backed up Thomas Plekanec in years past. And they put him up at the wing. This guy's never gotten 30 points in the NHL. And I know he was in a different role and he didn't have power play time. But, I mean, 30 points is – you'd like to see a guy in your top six that has scored more than 30 points. You know, yeah, I understand the 7-1 because he scored 40 goals in the league before, and he's kind of on his last legs in the NHL. And if he doesn't perform, he's gone. So there's kind of the motivation on that side. But for Lars Eller, it's going to be a big question mark to see if he can, you know, even get to 15 goals.
Yeah, well, you know what, he's a player. The Canadians have so many guys with question marks offensively, Sean. And you know, if you're Mark Bergevin, you look at the trade he made. He got rid of Press for Cassian, and obviously right now that hasn't worked out, and it doesn't look like Cassian's even going to play for them this season. But the Habs are starved for offense. What pieces does he have, you think, that he could move that are attractive enough to get him some offense?
Well, I think he wished Jared Tenorti was attractive to anybody, but if he can't crack an NHL roster and he hasn't been able to stay there, then what team would want him? You know, it's that one thing where if you want to get anything in return, it's going to be something that you have that you already want. You know, if someone wants a top six forward or someone to produce goals, they're going to go, can I have Brendan Gallagher? And Barker says, no, of course not. Gallagher's a big piece of the, like, you have to give up something. They have a couple assets in the minors, and Michael McCarron, who has high hopes, and a Nikita Sherbak, but I don't think Mark Bergevin is ready to, you know, let those first-round draft picks go. Maybe he's close with Jared Tenorti if you want a 6'6" defenseman, 230, that may become an NHL, you know, everyday player. You can go for it, but I don't know what you're going to get in return for that. So, yeah, the assets are minimal that I would think that Mark Bergevin wants to move.
What is the concern with Tenorti right now? What's lacking in his game?
Confidence, I think, is number one. In the preseason, a lot of people had him behind Mark Barberio. A lot of people were surprised Mark Barberio cleared waivers. Barberio looked clearly like he was an NHL defenseman. It's a guy who has played over 100 games in the NHL, but because it was probably more likely of him clearing waivers than Jared Tenorti. You put a guy that's 6'6" and 230 pounds and, you know, has the pedigree of Jared Tenorti on waivers, someone's going to claim him just to give him a tryout. And the Canadiens were just too scared to do that. Otherwise, he'd be in the AHL right now, you know, probably playing half a season, if not more, trying to work on his game. Right now, he's the 8th defenseman. Great Pattern can play in the NHL. Great Pattern will get in the lineup before Jared Tenorti. I don't know how they're going to get him in the lineup. So I don't know how they can boost his confidence. I don't know how that's going to be possible. And when they put him in, the limelight's going to be on him. And one mistake. In the final preseason, in the first period, he made three mistakes, and it was 3-0. The same with Tukarski. Tukarski was sent down, and many people were surprised that Tenorti wasn't sent down as well because he did not play very well either.
Sean, it's an early start, but the same issues for the Habs were there. I thought a lack of offense. They do have the best goaltender in the league, and you know that's a huge part of your team. But it'll be, I think, the ongoing storyline of the Habs is after Max Pacioretty, can they get enough offense?
Yeah, it's going to be the exact same storyline as last year. And I think if you look at the Canadiens, they're going to probably have the same result. They'll be battling for top spot. They'll be maybe second or third. They'll be battling with Tampa Bay and see who wins that division. But the same storylines that were there last year will be there this year. I have a question for you guys in Edmonton.
Yes.
Because I had this debate last night as we were watching the game. And we haven't brought him up, and I was shocked that you asked me to come on today to talk about the Canadiens because I just thought you guys were going to talk McDavid all day with him making his debut. What is a number that is projected for McDavid offensively? Because I got in with my co-host on the Hot Topic that we have on the weekends. We got a big debate of what number he's going to produce offensively.
What did you guys come up with?
He thinks he's hitting 75, and I thought that was a stretch.
To me, when I look at it, I did a lot of number crunching, you know, compared to what we've seen in the last decade of average guys and 18-year-olds and everything like that. And the number that came up with McDavid was around 72. So the thing that you have to take into consideration, at least I did when I crunched the numbers, was very few of those guys got the opportunity to play with a 23-year-old who's in the prime of his career, who's been a point of game player twice. Right, and like you look at who Sidney Crosby played with when he debuted, and you look at Patrick Kane, and even Nathan MacKinnon, and go down. They weren't playing with guys who were point of game players, right? And I think that's going to be the advantage he has. Not to mention the coaching staff comes into Edmonton, and their power play has been 20% or better 6 of the last 7 years with Jay Woodcroft and Todd McClellan. I think, and the Oiler players, even when their team was terrible, they were a team that was a 20-plus percentage twice before Dallas Eakins. So I think there's a potential for him to have some decent success on the man advantage and then playing 5-on-5 with Hall. I think I wrote him down for 73.
Yeah, see, I just think even when Crosby played and he debuted a decade ago, the NHL is so different. You know, 89 points was the top number last year, and I believe it'll be higher this year with 3-on-3 hockey, and that's going to help. But I just felt that for shooting, and I was like, you know what, I'm going on Edmonton radio, I gotta ask you to see what if you guys are going to 72. But I think he's probably in the 60-65 range. 18
well,
years old,
I guess
he's gonna get top matchups against some of the toughest defensemen in the National Hockey League against an 18-year-old. It's just gonna be tough for him. That's and I think 60 is a great number for him.
Do you think Nathan MacKinnon's that much better of a player than Connor McDavid?
I want to watch more Connor. That's what I want. I want to watch more, and I'm looking forward to watching him tonight. That's what it is. I want to see a little bit more, and not that I don't think it. Just I like watching people against pros before you can almost judge them, because you know some of these junior guys
the reason I ask that is MacKinnon had 63 points 2 years ago, and no one was raving about Nathan MacKinnon the way everybody in the hockey world talked about Connor McDavid, and that's why.
63 would be great.
Yeah, I look at McDavid's speed right now, and I've already talked to opposing defensemen who've played against him. They're like, I'm not sure there's a guy who can come out of turns faster in the NHL than McDavid, and that was from two veteran NHL defensemen.
I'm looking forward to watching him.
I think the lack of offense in the NHL is why I wouldn't put him at the 80-point level. But when Crosby had 102, the top guy, he was still 23 points behind the leader, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if a guy gets 95 points and he gets 73, well, he's 22 points behind the leader.
He's going to be just so much fun to watch, I think. And I got hopes for Edmonton this year. I got hopes. I picked up Talbot in my hockey pool. I got hopes.
Yeah, well, though the Oilers will be improved, I don't see them yet as a playoff team, though, Sean.
I'm not sure either, but I got hope.
Yeah, well, let's say, trust me, Oilers fans are hoping that you're right on that factor. I appreciate the time.
All right, have a good one, guys.